God, you are making all things new. I have to admit, before we go into our word of prayer and begin this morning, or continue this morning, that this mask keeps my face warm. So it's a little disconcerting taking it off and having the cool air hit my face. But I'm sure we will warm up just fine in a moment. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this cool weather. If it were hot out here, we'd be dreaming of cool weather. And now that it is cool, Lord God, let us just settle in and feel your presence every time the wind blows. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for those who are sitting in their cars worshiping with us. Thank you for those who are online, wherever they may be, who are worshiping with us as well. Your grace abounds, O God, and yes, you do make all things new. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said what? Amen. Amen. I have to admit, it just dawned on me that I haven't stood in our outdoor worship space since December. Do you remember that? It was warmer in December. Yes. So I'm grateful to be here. It's good to be with you as God calls us into this time of worship. God is still God, and God is good all the time. Our text message this morning is a narrative, a story of the end of one king's reign and the beginning of another reigning king. In the biblical text, and quite frankly, in real life, it is the in-between time that so often takes place as we wait and witness a transition of power. First Chronicles parallels the Exodus 35 passage where God has instructed Moses to build a worship space, a tent of meetings. And today, as we encourage one another and stand as God's beacon of light in the world, Chronicles reveals to us the significance and the importance of what it means to humble ourselves before God, to pray and worship God through God's grace, to turn away from sin that hinders us from following Christ, and to ask for an understanding heart, wisdom, and knowledge that can only come from God. Saints, the same God who called Moses, David, Solomon, Jesus, Mary, Paul, and so many others is also the same God who calls us to be united, generous, and committed. As we consider today's passage, hear 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17, where Paul says to the church in Corinth, "Don't you realize that all of you together, are the temple of God, and that God's Spirit lives in you? Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives within you?" I would be remiss if I stood up here and did not share with you how the gift of narrative, poetry, and prose have been on my mind and my heart this entire week since hearing Amanda Gorman's words. She talked about being an unfinished and imperfect person. In these moments, I remember the works and the writings of Phyllis Wheatley, of Langston Hughes, of Maya Angelou, Shel Silverstein, the Psalms, the Book of Habakkuk, and the Epistle of Jude. All the scholars, all of the scriptures, all of the people that have gone before us and continue to encourage us in our walk. I also remember my country, 'tis of thee, and the star-spangled banner. Because, see, the words we hear, recite and sing, invoke and evoke emotion and action. I remember one poem in particular that will stay with me for the rest of my life. It is now tucked away in a special place, most likely faded at this point, but committed to memory. Roses are red, violets are blue. You are my mommy, and I love you. Maybe you have your own favorite poem, prose, scripture, and song that springs you into action, brings you comfort, joy, love, and peace. So for a moment, think about what brings you comfort and joy. What scriptures, what poems, what hymns, what praise songs, what songs that we sing, patriotic songs, whatever they may be, what brings you peace, love, comfort, and joy? Today's first Chronicle passage, though not a bit of poetry or prose, evokes emotion and invokes action. Remember, saints, as we are journaling through Chronicles, we are emerging stronger than ever. Chronicles was written to help God's people rediscover their roots and to remind them and us that God had been their help, my help, your help in ages past, and would give them, me and you, a hope for the future. So often the works of the poets do the same, gifting us with encouragement and strength for tomorrow. For hundreds of years, the people of Israel worshiped their God in a tent, but they were about to transition into a building of worship. The chronicler creates a sense of excitement in the air. Change is about to come. Together, we have witnessed God's visit to Solomon and Solomon's prayers. And now we are right at the beginning of Solomon's reign. Sometimes we have to look at the past to recognize how far we have come and how far we have to go. See, prior to this moment in 1 Chronicles 2, King David called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. In verse 7, David said to Solomon, "My son, I had planned to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'You have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house in my name because you have shed so much blood in my sight on the earth.'" We have to remember there's always a backdrop, a history, perhaps to give context to this very moment in which we find ourselves. See, later, David gathers the assembly together, the leaders, and says, "My son Solomon, who God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself." David begins to tell the assembly, these leaders who have gathered, how he is committed to the building of the temple, to giving generously of his own private resources, out of his devotion and commitment to God. Then David poses a question. "Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today. Today is not about a stewardship call. Sorry, Mina. It's not about a financial campaign. Sorry to the finance team. Yet today is a witness to God not being a genie in a bottle and speaking the temple into being. Today is about what it means for God's people who pray for revival, for transformation, for spiritual renewal, for an infusion of hope and faith. And when God's people want something to happen, they are committed to making it happen. They are generous in their gifts, devoted to God in making this dream a reality. And in this passage, it is building a temple for God. David, who is the richest man in the kingdom, announced for everyone to hear the amount of his gift to show not that he was the richest one, but that he was committed to the process. He says, and now because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This, in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. David unites the people and they commit with generosity. When we are united and committed and generous, we will always emerge stronger than ever. See, the building of the temple was a turning point in the life of Israel. The temple was connected to the spiritual well-being of God's people. And as you can see from our own physical campus, we have a house of worship in which you and I have ongoing desires to restore and to improve, so that we may offer these buildings, this temple, to as refuge to the community, as classrooms for them to gather, as we create a safe and secure space for our children and for each other as we learn about God sheltered from the elements. Believe it or not, our mission is not all that different from theirs. This type of commitment and generosity tends to be a little bit easier to digest. You give, you see results, repeat. You give, you see results, repeat. And when God's people want something to happen, they are committed to making it happen. Making a dream a reality. Devoted and generous. See, even in the midst of our campus, we are still in the business of building temples. Remember 1 Corinthians 3:16? Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? We are the temple. And who will follow the example and give the offerings of ourselves, of our gifts, of our words to the Lord today? Who will follow the example and be this beacon of light that I am stirred to talk about until I am called home to glory? Our task is to hear the words of the prophets and the chronicler, to hear the words of Jesus and the disciples, to hear the words of Paul and the other women and men like him, to hear the words of John Wesley, who said, "We are called to preserve and increase the life of God in the souls of men and women." to share the love of God. So the temple seeds we plant will invite Jesus into the hearts of people. And the unity, the finances, the gifts, the generosity will follow. See, saints, we build temples when we give, even when we think we have nothing else left to give. We build temples when we give of our time, of our love, of our gifts, of ourselves. We build temples when we worship God, when we may disagree with the process, but commit and trust God anyway. We build temples by daring to follow the light of Christ and be the beacon of light, daring to believe in God and take God up on his promises. We are fishing for all of God's people. This is how we build temples. We do not build them to men and women. We build them to and for God. And God will do it with us, in us, and in spite of us. See, when we commit to Jesus Christ through prayer and worship and a generous heart, we build temples. Who today will commit to building a temple before God? Amanda Gorman says, when day comes, we step out of the shade of flame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it, for there is always light. If only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it for Jesus Christ. Emerge, O people of God, to build God's temple. In the hearts of men and women with grace and love, because we are all in need of a Savior. Build God's temple, O beautiful people of God, so that we may emerge stronger than ever. Build God's temple, O people of God, so we can worship through song and praise and love and fellowship. Oh, build God's temple, oh, people of God, by making ourselves known as the beacon and light of Jesus Christ. Build God's temple so that we may emerge stronger than ever. Amen.